Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So, my next conversation is quite an interesting one. It hasn't quite impacted Johannesburg as much as it has the other side of the country in Cape Town, where I'm from. But Airbnb obviously has got a really strong presence in Cape Town, some 23,564 active listings, which is probably more than the cities of Sydney and San Francisco combined. And Airbnb has really asked South Africa to establish a national host registration system to help us understand and have better oversight of local hosting. I'm joined this evening by regional lead Middle East Africa for Airbnb, Valma Corcoran, who'll help us understand a bit more about these efforts. Good evening, Valma. Thanks so much for joining us on Kaya Biz.
Good evening, Rafael. Yeah, great to be here and excited to share a little bit more about our latest report.
Okay, tell us. All right, why don't you start off with that? What are some of the biggest findings that you're seeing in your latest regional perspective?
So I think the first thing I want to say is, you know, as you mentioned, this is not, Joburg, there hasn't been so much of a conversation about it in Johannesburg, but, you know, there's been a conversation about the impact of Airbnb in Cape Town. Key reason why we launched this report was to accelerate a call on government for a national register for short-term rentals. And the reason why this is important is we believe that government should have transparent data so that they can make informed decisions about the impact of about short-term rentals and then create appropriate regulations.
And
having said that, sorry.
I'm curious what you would want to include in the national register.
There's obviously been a lot of discussion about, you know, the impact of Airbnb, and we've released some data about our impact, which I'll talk about in a moment. But, you know, we are just one player in the sector. And so in a national register, you would have all players in the sector across all different platforms. So anyone who would want to, you know, list a property on Airbnb or Booking.com or Lakkerslab would have to register with government. So government would have a very clear idea about where who is hosting, where they are hosting, and for how long.
Yes.
So you can really make informed decisions about whether or not regulation is needed.
I think, you know, regulation should be needed in the same way that the hotel industry has regulation, surely.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think, you know, we have for a very long time been, you know, calling for regulation in South Africa for short-term rentals for exactly that. You know, it creates certainty for our hosts. And, you know, it also signals that, you know, we're a key part of the tourism sector. I was very encouraged actually on Friday night that the Department of Tourism published their white paper for tourism, which sets the kind of the sector strategy over the next 10 to 15 years. And a key part of that is regulation for short-term rentals and a registration, a national register. So I definitely feel like we are on the right path, and we're very excited to be working with the department over the, you know, the coming months to try and shape what that regulation would look like.
That's good. So Airbnb, I mean, you're right to say that it's not the only player that's sort of predominantly in or playing within the short-term rental space, but you're certainly a very dominant. I'm sure we'll have the majority of that short-term rental market. And you're right, the conversation has been going on for some time around short-term rentals, their impact on not just property pricing, but on rental structure. So the availability of long-term rentals as compared. And of course, they do tend to set a floor in terms of expectations for pricing on the long-term side that impacts affordability. This has been seen, I suppose, not just in Cape Town, but, you know, the Airbnb has found itself either restricted or regulated or banned in numerous international cities, in New York, in Barcelona, in Berlin, in Paris, in San Francisco. And often this is the pushback, right? It seems like it's populist, but it's really just down to affordability.
Yeah, so listen, I think the first thing to say is that the context that we find ourselves in South Africa is vastly different to a New York or a Barcelona. And, you know, I can touch on those in a second. You know, South Africa tourism is a really important growth driver for us. We want to encourage tourism, and we also want to see jobs created through tourism. So with this report we just released, we saw two things. One is really impressive economic impact from Airbnb in the city of Cape Town. So in 2023, we saw over 14 billion rand contribution to GDP, supporting 42,000 jobs.
Sorry, what way? That 14 billion rand from tourists?
So 14 billion rand from the income from people staying in Airbnb, so what they are spending, as well as the knock-on impact. So, you know, to put it, so, you know, what are they spending in coffee shops, in bars, in restaurants, in the shops, as well as, you know, the support services for kind of cleaning and everything else that goes into hosting an Airbnb. So we saw, you know, very impressive economic impact, which is absolutely what we want to see.
Staying in Airbnb is necessarily spending? How do you calculate that in the country? And is it because they're staying at Airbnb?
So obviously this is looking at our data. You know, we work with, you know, economists who use econometric modeling when they look at our data, and they look at the spend that comes from what guests are spending when they spend on Airbnb, so the money that is going to hosts, and then all of the additional income, the supplementary, all of the additional supplementary spending.
So that's based on an assumption.
Pardon?
So that would be based on an assumption. So we know what the rate of stay is.
That's based on surveys that we do with our guests around how much they spend when they come into the destination, and then using econometric modeling methods.
Okay. Yes, and then you were saying about 7 billion in labor income.
Yes, and 7 billion in labor income, which is then also, you know, which is not just, which is what goes into hosting, the cleaning services that go and the cleaning services and other ancillary services that go with that.
Okay. So, Vilma, help me understand. I mean, your study shows that the average host listing is rented for 38 nights in a year, which is not a significant, I suppose, business addition, is it? Or are these standalone homes, or are those where the host actually lives?
So I think that's one of the most important things that you need to understand, especially if you're looking at, like, you know, often there are these sort of massive numbers kind of saying, you know, Airbnb's got X number of total listings, you know, and how does that compare to, say, a Barcelona? First thing is a city like Barcelona is already very heavily regulated. The second thing is that the majority of our hosts on Airbnb are people who are renting out a room in their home, or they've got a granny cottage, or they're doing this for supplementary income. So we see that that's on average 38 days a year, equating to just 70,000 rand a year. If you had to look at what we call a dedicated listing, so these are Airbnbs where people are renting them out, say, more than 90 nights a year, which could arguably be taken off the long-term rental market, we're seeing that accounts for less than 1% of total housing stock in Cape Town, and less than 1.5% of the total, you know, incremental housing stock that would be needed to meet the problem. So,
what's your methodology there? Sorry, you call a dedicated listing? You decide it's a dedicated listing on the basis of the number of nights booked, or because it's a dedicated listing?
So our definition of a listing which is dedicated to Airbnb and by
short-term rentals,
it's something would be rented out more intensively, you know, and we've said that, you know, that is likely to be something that has been rented out for more than 90 nights a year.
Yeah, but that's that wouldn't capture the full. So there'll be a lot standing vacant, for example. I think almost every single development that you see in Cape Town at the moment popping up, and there are many, and I think we also need to be honest about the sides of Cape Town. You can't just look at the South African Cape Town housing stock in its entirety, because the majority of people are not necessarily trying to open a small holding in Khayelitsha or necessarily in Durbanville. So the areas that happen to dominate with the Airbnbs, which is sort of your gardens, your center of the city, your Atlantic seaboard, almost every development that's coming up in that particular area has a little sign at the end of it of investment property and easy to Airbnb. It's actually affecting buying behavior and long-term or short-term availability behavior, even if the 90-day renter himself happens to be the only one that you define as a dedicated listing.
The data that we've looked at looks at kind of our data, but I think it brings me back to my first point. And the reason why it is so critical that we have a national host register, which starts to look at the sector as a whole, starts to create really kind of transparent data, and is able to start to look things at a relatively micro level, so that, you know, governments like the City of Cape Town can start to see, you know, if they suddenly see that actually there is a very high kind of concentration in specific neighborhoods, then you can start to look at, you know, what types of bespoke regulation could work at a neighborhood level. You know, as I've said, you know, we're very, very much in favor of regulation. We never want to be in a position where, you know, Airbnbs kind of overwhelm neighborhoods or communities.
Wow.
And the foundation for that is a national register, which is why we've been so vocal in our calls for that.
So, okay, what would this look like? Because, by the way, you're, if I can put it in a certain way, Volma, you're kind of a victim of your own success, because short-term rentals have happened long before Airbnb and have impacted the Cape Town market long before Airbnb. It just happens to be that you are really successful, and so happen to be the name that people raise when they have complaints. But if I think about short-term rentals in Cape Town, the season market, you know, December through March, is a very high demand market in these very neighborhoods that I'm talking about. It's just that Airbnb is, I suppose, introduced a far more simple and trustworthy way in order to access, and can do so all through the year. I'm just curious to know, you know, what kind of regulations in other countries might you call for here in South Africa that you are very much in favor of?
So, you know, I think the first thing I want to say is that, you know, regulation has to be, you know, it has to be based on evidence, and it has to be proportionate to the level of activity. So someone who, you know, is renting out a room in their home shouldn't necessarily be subject to the same rules and regulations as someone who is doing this kind of full time. Also, what we do, you know, someone who has one property should be treated very differently to someone that has got 10 or 20 or 30 properties and is actually buying up, you know, properties to take them off the long-term rental market. So the first thing is that it is, you know, it is based on, you know, it has to be based on evidence, and it has to be based on how do you incentivize and disincentivize kind of the activity that you like. And so if we look at most places in the world where this has been implemented successfully, you know, it generally starts with a national register or some kind of a registration system so that you have a sense of where the activity is happening. And then sometimes you may have, you know, more nuanced regulation where you've got stricter rules in place for people who've got more than X number of properties, or you have stricter regulation in place in certain neighborhoods or kind of certain communities. So that is, you know, how I think you look at it. You know, I think the one thing that from experience in other places, especially in a city, in a country like South Africa, where we want to encourage tourism, we want ordinary people to be able to benefit from tourism, which we see kind of through Airbnb, is we want to avoid, you know, situations where, like in the case of New York, you have outright bans, because 1 year on, what we've seen is that an outright ban has not been good for the citizens of New York. It's not been good for travelers. And that all that's happened is that that hotel prices have gone up and made the city a lot more inaccessible.
Well, in many cases, Airbnb rentals have continued to go up at the same time. And less protection for guests. So Airbnbs actually tend to be in line, or more expensive than hotels in many respects, without the same security. I mean, we all heard about that tragic issue with the gentleman, the rapist gentleman that was on surf instructor that unfortunately was not prevented from attacking guests from overseas.
I respectfully disagree with you, because we see from our data, we did an independent economic impact report, and over 50% of South Africans choose South Africa because it is choose Airbnb because it is a more affordable option. Okay. Than traveling in hotels. And I think the second thing is that, you know, There are the number of kind of incidents that happen on Airbnb relative to the number of guests we have are actually very few and far between. And we have, you know, if you think about the way that the platform is set up to allow people who are actually effectively strangers to share spaces, we have really invested in kind of trust and safety mechanisms, dual review system for both the host and the guests to make sure that the platform is really safe. And as a result, we also have, you know, insurance for both hosts and guests, law enforcement portals, and a number of mechanisms set up in the rare event that something does go wrong. And I think often, you know, those stories do come out, but they tend to be the exception rather than the rule.
All right. Let's get back to the regulations that you would welcome. So, for example, in the Netherlands, there's a cap of 30 nights per year to rent out your apartment, or London, where it's a cap of 90 days per year, where it must be your living unit, not necessarily a second property. Would you welcome that in Cape Town?
So, you know, generally what we've seen is, I think it really depends on what you're trying to encourage. You know, the situation in Amsterdam is very different, where, you know, the city is actually actively trying to discourage tourism. We don't have that kind of situation in South Africa. You know, we also, you know, we have an unemployment problem. So, you know, I think you have to balance it with, you know, what you're trying to do. So, okay, you know, we want to encourage micro entrepreneurs. We don't want to necessarily have huge amounts of red tape. I would also just say that I think there are smarter ways of regulating than kind of day caps, because ultimately, because we're not the only platform, you know, someone can rent out for 30 days on Airbnb and then do 30 days on Booking, or then do 30 days on kind of on another platform. So I would be more inclined to look at, you know, specific, you know, municipal, you know, if you're in a certain area, looking at municipal rates or taxes, or looking at, increased fees for number of listings.
So increase the municipal rates and taxes for an Airbnb manager.
Yeah, and if you look, well, in specific neighborhoods, or, you know, if you've got a registration system, you know, if you say, actually, we want ordinary people to be able to benefit from, you know, listing out their place on Airbnb, but we don't necessarily want someone who's buying 5 or 10 or 20 properties. So, you know, if you've registered and you've got a number of different properties, then actually then you get classified as someone who's professional. You know, the key thing for me is, how do you separate between someone who's doing this occasionally because they want to make some additional money, and someone who's doing this kind of full time and is running a business, in which case they need to be, you know, they need to go through all the things that someone who's renting out or running a business would need to do.
Canada had a moratorium on foreign buying of property. What about that?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not 100% familiar with kind of the situation in Canada, and nor am I aware of that moratorium.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving us your insights, Velma. Always always interesting to see how businesses are leading, I suppose, our government participants in how they would like regulation designed to suit the business.
And you know, I think we look forward to seeing how this plays out. And I think ultimately you can create balanced regulation that creates a win-win for all.
We I hope so. Valma Corcoran is regional lead for Middle East and Africa at Airbnb. Let me know your thoughts. 740. Is it wise for corporations to try to guide regulation that will regulate them?
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.